We're now ready to begin the 23rd chapter. And in the 23rd chapter, we're going to have the story of Sarah's death. After this great experience on Mount Moriah, this tremendous trauma that Abraham had gone through and Isaac, very little is said in the Bible about the life of Abraham and nothing more about Sarah until her death. Isaac was 37 years old when she died. But we're not told how old he was exactly when he and his father took the journey to the mountain. So there's no knowledge of how much time elapsed after that experience on Mount Moriah when Isaac was being offered up there, how much time elapsed between that time and actually Sarah's death. Some have suggested that the experience with Isaac was such a shock that this hastened Sarah's death. We don't know that at all. Sarah was a woman of great faith. She was very strong, and she most likely would have reacted in much the same way as Abraham did to this event and the command to sacrifice him on Mount Moriah. All in all, after that was over, it was a time of rejoicing. Abraham had obeyed God. Abraham had proved himself, and the promises were again renewed. To begin chapter 23, we would like to read the first two verses. And Sarah was 120 years old. These were the years of the life of Sarah. And Sarah died in Kirjath Arba, the same as Hebron in the land of Canaan. And Abram came to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. 40 years before her death, Sarah had called herself old back in Genesis 18:12. She referred herself as someone who had waxed old. So we never know how long we're going to live. We don't know how useful we may be as we get to a certain age. And certainly we would like to be as useful to God as possible, as much of our life as possible. And that's what did happen here in the case of Sarah. And of course, we feel very pleased and very thankful when someone's allowed to serve God this much of their life. Death is the only thing which could have separated Abraham and Sarah. And it did, of course, separate their bond. It's the only true separator of a marriage that's sanctioned by God. And, of course, it happened to Sarah. The most righteous are not excluded from death, but the righteous sorrow not as those who have no hope. Sarah died in Canaan, where she had been a sojourner for over 60 years. So evidently they had moved back from Beersheba to this area around Hebron. The area there was known as Kirjath Arba, but it's the same area as it was known as Hebron. So she's back in Canaan at the time of her death. She died seeing the fulfillment of the promised son, but she did not see the fulfillment of the promise beyond that point. We have this fact shown to us quite plainly in Hebrews 11, verse 13, which says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." Sarah has the distinction of being the only woman in the Bible whose age was given at the time of her death. And she is one of the outstanding women of the Bible. Peter refers to her in 1 Peter 3, verses 5 and 6, and there he indicates that she was considered to be the mother of all believing women, just as Abraham was considered to be the father of all those who believe. There Peter says, "For after this manner in the old time the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection to their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as you do well, and are not afraid with any amazement, or with any hysterical fear." And in verse 2 of this 23rd chapter of Genesis, we're told that Abraham came to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. It seems that Abraham may not have been present at the time of her death, and it says he came to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. This may also mean that her death was a relatively merciful one, that she didn't have to suffer with a lot of pain and go through a lot of debilitation before her death actually came. Maybe it was a quick and easy death. If she'd been in a long terminal illness, no doubt Abraham would have been there. And we know that Abraham loved Sarah dearly. It must have been a great grief for him to have her to die. But he did mourn and shed tears. And we see that two words are used here. He came both to mourn and to weep. He didn't just go through some formality of mourning, and it looked as though he was just going through some ritual here. His sorrow was real. He wasn't faking anything. We can see him in our mind's eyes. He would come to her tent and sit there by her dead body and shed the tears and pay tribute to her. Abraham and Sarah had a long life together. They had many memories, or Abraham would have many memories of their life together at this point. They had left Ur of the Chaldees together. They'd come to Canaan together back 60-some years ago. They lived in this land as strangers and pilgrims. They were sojourners in this land. And the things that Abraham went through, Sarah also went through. The things that he saw, she also saw. And, of course, she was just as much a part of this great promise of Abraham, the giving of the son and the having him to come as the father of many nations. She was a part of this as much as anyone. She had to be the one who bore the son. And she bore the son years after she should have been actually not able to bear children. We see here that Abraham also sets an example to us. When we have a loved one to die, it's very proper for us to mourn and weep at their loss. We see here that it is very appropriate for us to show mourning and grief, for us to shed tears, for us to weep at the loss of a loved one. That's exactly what Abraham did, and we see that it just pays respect to the loved one who's gone on before. And of course we know that those who die in faith, as Sarah did, and they and their loved ones will have a different view of death than those who die with their sins unforgiven and who are unobedient to God. Paul tells us about this in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will bring God with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain, and the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. That's our lesson. Till next time, this is N.C. Crouch saying, goodbye, friends.